Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here to the Shepherd's Call tonight. We're live and direct. Today is the ninth day of August, praise Yahweh, and we're glad to have you aboard. This is on Friday. And so we got a great show lined up. We're in the flood and the implications of the flood. We're going to examine exactly what that means tonight, go back and try to correlate the scriptures and its truth as compared to the legends and the myths that is associated with the flood and man's interpretation of it. And that's a very hard thing to do. I mean, they created Christmas, and there's no way today that you can argue against Christmas. I mean, if you come on and discount Christmas as a pagan holiday, that it's not Bible, they're not going to pay any attention to you. Not one out of a thousand will pay any attention to you. One out of a million, Christian. Why? Because it's a precedented tradition that has become the norm rather than the exception, because there was not even a Santa Claus in the 10th, 11th, 12th centuries. This is an invention by man for tradition, and it's become so popular that you can't argue against tradition. The Bible said, learn not the ways of the heathen. And the flood, the worldwide flood, everybody takes for granted that the flood was worldwide. Now, the question is, was it? Well, let's go back and do a little review of what we've already discussed in previous episodes. Just try to condense this final message and give you a little understanding about carbon dating. And I know carbon dating is a scientific tool and has no place in the Bible. The Bible says itself to prove all things, and if carbon dating is they don't even have to be accurate here. We're talking about possibly thousands or at least hundreds of years, and so we could vary a couple of hundred years or a couple of thousand years either way and still get in the ballpark here with carbon dating. Carbon dating is a way of determining how old an object is. And carbon dating has shown, with scientific instrumentation, that certain things on the earth are millions of years old. Now, that goes back and gets the fundamental Christian that the earth is only 6,000 years old in a heap of trouble. Now, you've got these trained, professional deep programmers, I guess it is, for anybody that would believe that the earth is older than 6,000 years. They've got these trained Christian professional deep programmers to come around and straighten you out on that. And they're real good at it. They've got it all down in rhyme and verse. And so they know how to attack the weak Christians that are not Bible readers and history studiers, so they can come in and throw the cloud above their eyes and deceive, if you will, the very elect. So, let me give you something to think about. Now, you think about this real good. Nowhere, and I repeat nowhere, does the Bible teach that the earth was created 6,000 years ago. There's just not one scripture to verify that. You can, if you take genealogy. And again, I have warned you several times on my program to beware of a biblical genealogy. I have found flaws and errors, deception. The scribes have masterfully come in and made certain surgical reduction or addition. They've added to and taken from. It's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that the evangelical fundamentals of Christianity believe a literal word of God is every word. I mean, every comma, every period and everything else in the Bible. There's no, they won't even acknowledge a typographical error of the copyist in the King James Bible. That's how, this is how dogmatic some of these Christian gunslingers out here trying to defend the Bible as God's holy word. Clay Douglas made a remark that I tend to agree, and I told him I did, and that surprised him. He thinks that the Bible is just a historical document to point back into the past as well as point a few places in the future, and I agree with that. There were inspired men anointed with the Spirit, but there were also, the Bible teaches you this, that there were men, evil men, ordained for the very purpose of entering in unaware to make these disruptions and these changes so that they could deceive, if possible, the very elect. You see, a sheep, when he gets the word, now he may be out there with the goats picking in the revelation of truth comes, and he hears a true prophet of God, he'll come home because he knows the shepherd's voice. Our Heavenly Father told us that, and he said, I am not of this world, I'm not of this earth, and neither are my sheep. Those who are anointed with the eternal Spirit always have had a Spirit. You always had the eternal Spirit. Jeremiah was a called, chosen vessel from his mother's womb. If you are a child of God, Yahweh, and your name's on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, how could you have ever been lost? You say, well then, why do you teach that the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Oh, there. They that came down here were in the corral, so to speak, of the Heavenly Father's realm. I believe we were eternal spirit beings before we ever came down here on flesh and blood missions. So when you look at me, you're looking at more than a man. You're looking at a Melchizedek priest, anointed and called from the foundation of the world with my name on the Lamb's book. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't tell me that the Father, if he knew your name, he didn't know you. Every fiber, every being of your Holy Spirit, which the Spirit has no beginning and no end, and we all are a part. We didn't become a part. We're not born again. We're born from above, according to the correct Greek. And you see, the Catholic Church wanted you to be born again. And they inserted that doctrine and become a traditional dogma, and the dogmatics are out here barking like dogs, dumb dogs, braying jackasses on the religious scene, saving everybody they can get a hold of. Come on down here to the altar. And then just the walk down the altar, some miraculous, my heavens, how blind have we been? How long are we going to stumble around in the bell boxes, deceived, and eating this garbage of the traditional Catholic Church that has become international Canaanite Jewry at the head of it? I mean, they operate right now in the Catholic Church. The head of the Catholic Church is Jewish, and they have done a masterful con job upon the unsuspecting sheep of Jacob Israel. We're talking about a people that were born with the Spirit. I don't have to do nothing, Pastor Buddy, to prove that I'm a sheep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Can you take an old plug donkey out here? Would you be stupid enough to breed a choice thoroughbred mare to a jack and breed you a mule for racing? Come on, get real here. Wouldn't the offspring resemble its father? Well, a jack crossed with a mare. Now, you see, a jack that's crossed with a mare will produce what is called a sterile or a hybrid type of horse. Now, if you take that same jack and bring him back to his bloodline of the offspring of the she-male, or the she that is bred to back to the male, we call the female a jenny. All you old farmer boys know what I'm talking about. And we call the male a jack. And he is a jack. And when he breeds with his correct species, he breeds and brings forth what is called a donkey. And this donkey is the beast of burden in the Middle East. That's what the Messiah rode into Jerusalem on the of the first month of the Passover. He rode right in on that day, on the 10th day, which was the day that they put up the lamb. Then for 3 days, he had the passion, and they killed him on the fourth day. So, you see, it's showing you that Christ, the burden bearer, and Issachar is the sign that is denoted in the 12 tribes as the burden bearer. And these are the gifted ones of the times in the heavens. And so then, we've got so much layered deception. Let me show you another point here. Now, you think about this. Now, make a note of this. It does not mention when the heavens or the earth were created. But yet, we've got these fundamentals that go back 6,000 years, and they're sticking to that story. And they will not acknowledge any time before the advent of Adam that there was ever life or possibly other worlds that existed when the Bible speaks of other worlds. The Bible specifically speaks in the first chapter that everything was already created in maturity before it ever grew in the earth. That's very plain. It either existed here on the planet that was destroyed in a pre-flood Genesis, or it was transplanted from another planetary system that is compatible to our own and placed here. And then Adam, only 6,000 years ago, approximately, if we interpret, and like I say, I question sometimes the genealogy. I believe that somebody's monkeyed with evidence here. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how good your case seems. You could have a lock on the case to make your argument before the court. And somebody could come in and tamper with the evidence and destroy or change or alter it, and then your case would be weakened as a result. I believe that a case to argue truth, the truth of that you lived before, if you were an eternal being. Now, I will agree that these that have no eternal spirit are dust of the earth, the neshamas, out of the earth and back to the earth. But there is someone in that body, blushing species, that is a stranger and a pilgrim here upon this earth. Let me say that. Could you argue with me with that, that Adam and his sons and his descendants and his daughters are all strangers and pilgrims here? Well, if we're strangers and pilgrims, that means that we're not of this earth earthly. Well, isn't that what our Messiah said? I am not of this earth. I am from above. Whereabouts was he from? And then he specifically spoke another startling statement to the Canaanite Jews, who must have been obviously from somewhere else. And I'll tell you where they're from. they are from the earth, with their only connection back to heaven barred by their father. Satan blocked by his own deeds and actions, by his own fall, he blocked his offspring. Therefore, he became the judge of his eternal damnation and all of his offspring into the earth. They cannot return where Satan, their father, came from. He's forever barred. I can prove in the Bible he's been cast out. And he'll never go back there. His life line of defense is the planet Earth. And when he is loosed in the last days, he was bound for a specific amount of time. You need to actually write from that tape on the 1,000 years. It explains the sequence of the events and puts it in proper perspective and hooks it to the two resurrections and lines it up proper to give you an understanding of what's going on in this earth. And that Satan now, even as I speak at this very moment, is making quick plans to appear on the earth as a Messiah. He will be a false Messiah, not a true one. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't have to worry about that. Glory to God. I'm going to be raptured out of here in a tribulation. Well, so long, goodbye, and good luck. I got news for you. You're going to be raptured out, but it ain't going to be when you think so. You see, the good guys are going to do the rapturing. Satan and his angels are going to come in to unify this earth into a system that's already been planned and perpetrated upon the unsuspecting who are to be inheritors of this earth. Now, let me explain this. The deed and the title to this earth belongs to the house of Israel. Now, that's going to make the devil mad because the Bible is written to, for, and about the house of Israel. It tells us specifically how to behave ourselves or conduct ourselves upon the earth for prosperity and blessings. We have failed miserably. We can't even keep the Sabbath. We've been lied to about that so much that we don't even know when Sunday comes, as the old saying goes. And that's another message. I preached that on Truth Radio many times, and you should understand that nobody, and I mean nobody, has challenged the three dates that we've established right today, for instance. Today's the new moon. We're in celebration of a Sabbath. It begins on the first day of the month. Today's the first day of the month, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first day of the month. Isn't it wonderful that we know what time it is? And these heathen don't. You know what time they say it is? They say it's the 9th day of August. Now, what was August? Who's he named after? What famous Roman would have his name invoked into the calendar system that you may speak his name when you speak the month of August? Could it be Augustus? Augustus? Caesar? Augustus? Yeah, that's the old dude that got his name on their honorary month roll. What's that got to do with Yahweh and the Hebrew calendar? He got a thing to do with it. Now, you say,
I still don't tell me when the true Sabbath comes.
Duh. I mean, we got stupid Israel. I can't even count 6. At sundown tonight, you start your first crescent light. Go up and look at your moon, see if it ain't first crescent. You work. You can work for 6 days, and then you keep a Sabbath on the first quarter. And, well, don't even want to get on the Sabbath here. count on it so much, ain't had no challenge. I'm just itching for somebody to challenge that so that we can prove that something's rotten here, just like the flood. Now, let me give you a point to think about. The Bible says that heaven and earth was created in the beginning, and in the next verse of Genesis 1 and 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. In other words, the planet Earth was already in existence. Are you listening to me? The planet was already in existence. It just didn't have any light because it was void, empty, and dark. Now, that could have been, as your carbon dating tools will agree, that time began much earlier, or the Earth and its original state was much earlier than 6,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, 6,000 years is a joke to anybody that's got any sense, the way I look at it. If you look back at 6,000 years can be gone in a blink of an eye. I mean, 100 years will roll around, well, you know, like David said, I was once young and now I'm old. Hey, I know me and some of my friends, I'm nearing the 70s, and I know some of my friends that are in the same boat, and we know every day when we get up that we're on the slippery slope going down the other side, and we ain't going to be around here long. Well, praise Yahweh. If we fought a good fight and kept the faith, we're going to go to a much better place that's prepared for us from, listen to me now, the foundation before there was any of the universe, the Big Bang Theory, or however you believe, the creation theory, that God developed it, and the mighty Elohim conducted it, and their caretakers. However you want to believe it, let me assure you of one thing. There is a divine creator, and you'll give an account to him for your disobedience, just like every generation in the past have had to pay. And the Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now let me give you another little thing to think about. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form, void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. Well, wait a minute. You mean they were hills when the earth was void? Well, that's what he says. We're coming back after the break. It's special, buddy. We're talking about the flood. Whether it was worldwide or whether it was just a local. You stay tuned. We're coming back. Yahweh bless you. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us on the program tonight. And get your Bible out. I want you to look at a very, probably, perhaps, this is one of the 10 most overlooked scriptures in the Bible. That's Genesis 1:28. Let's read it. And God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, be fruitful, in other words, bring forth offspring, and multiply, and replenish, restock, to bring them back again. Replenish the earth. Multiply and replenish. Does that mean replace something that had been removed? Replenish means to replace something that's already been there. It means to refill. It must have been plenished, not replenished now. There's an original plenish, and then there is a second replenish. You understand what I'm talking about? That means that we've got problems in Genesis chapter 6 back to chapter 1 to understand exactly what happened from that point to that point, point A to point B, in other words. Was there a pre-A and a pre-B start or starting point if we had to have a replenishing job done here? The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun for what is to be has already been. Now, let me show you something else here. You think about that. That's something for you to think about as we look at the implications of a flood worldwide. How do we explain the relative ages of the mountains? Let me give you an example. Let's go out to Nevada and the Sahara Mountains and then come up here where I live in the Appalachians. Why is it that the Appalachian Mountains are more, much more? And it's so striking, even from the air you can notice, that they're much more eroded than the Sahara Nevadas mountain chain there in Nevada. Why is there no evidence of a flood in the major ice core samples at the North and the South Pole? Now let me show you something here. Just like the Earth, ice gives a annual, layered, year after year, chronology. A worldwide flood then would have expected and been expected to leave a layer of sediments, noticeably changes in the salinity and the oxygen isotope ratios, fractures and thermal stresses and so on, trapped air bubbles and other evidences that they can determine when they read the layered sediments. And listen to this now. At the poles, there are 40,000 years that has been examined. They could go much deeper. But they have examined 40,000 years of layered annual core samples. And there's not one shred of evidence where that there has been a flood to deposit sediments such as what we're talking about here. Well, even if there was a flood, how then were the polar ice caps even possible? Such a mass of water over the North and South Pole, as I indicated to you last night, would have quickly provided sufficient buoyancy to float the polar caps off their beds and break them up, which is happening right now at an alarming rate, as the Earth is actually in a tilted shift at 23.5 degrees. We are wobbling and we're tilting precariously, this little ball of matter hanging in space, suspended on nothing. Amazing. And there is a possibility that we have been lied to all along, that there is intelligence in control, that this is a satellite that was made by an intelligence high above what we're capable of even thinking about, that at the central core of the Earth is nothing more than an atomic or a nuclear reactor that is creating the energies that's necessary to give life and maintain life here upon the planet, and that there is not, as the scientists have ignorantly, foolishly sometimes, have suggested it might be a molten nickel core at the center. And you know the theories that they project that. Why did the flood not lay traces on the seafloors? Why is there no evidence of a flood in the major trees that are up on the earth? Tree ring records go back more than 10,000 years with no evidence of a catastrophe during the time 10,000 years back into history. It would record it. Trees will give you the condition of the earth at any given time. We have ability now to read the rings, just like we have the ability to look at the sediment changes that would have been in the ice caps if it had been a worldwide flood. And of course, we're talking about the possibilities. It wasn't worldwide. No. Let's say that it was localized, like we suggested it might have been in the Thailand Basin in Asia. That was, 6,000 years ago approximately, a new introduction into the earth of a species, a new race of Aryans, what we know as Caucasians. And these Caucasians began to keep records and raise the level of thinking upon the earth dramatically. Everything shot up in the knowledge departments around the world, evidence, history. Everything supports that from 6,000 years ago, things have drastically improved in science and technology, at least. Not to say that we have improved spiritually, we have declined spiritually. We have used, as it was in Genesis 6, the knowledge that the Father had given us to subdue and to dress the earth and to keep it and to replenish it with those that were taken away pre-Noah or pre-Adam, rather, and then again as he replenished the earth from a seed, he saved the seed, Noah, and the seven that were with him, he saved those for seed sake, to keep that particular genetic race. Now, ever what Noah was, there is now a mighty host of them scattered throughout the earth. And we know by history that we can trace the lineage of Noah to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sons of Seth, offspring from Adam. And that these were later dispersed into the earth and crossed what we now know and the migrational flight of both the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and Judah as they became wanderers as they were scattered in the earth, as it is stated in the Bible, never to return back to the sandbox of Israel. Ain't gonna happen. We're being deceived, set up, and manipulated by the enemy, the false Messiah that's working and pulling the pulpits on the string, which are the kings of the earth, the governments, to, in the last days, promote a condition of perilous times. These are deliberate. And by doing so, when it's dangerous, with the advent of terrorism, ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't believe where the real terrorist is at. But that's another story and another message. But we're in the time of trouble that speaks about as it was in the days of Noah. And the Bible will specifically tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, what was happening in the days of Noah. Again, we come back to our message with Pastor Jim and Pastor Jack there in Andrews last night, where we were live on the same message of Genesis 6. I'd like to remind you that we were talking about miscegenation, race mixing, a social structure that has mixed its blood, has never survived on this planet any length of time. All nations that have engaged in interbreeding, just like the donkey or the jack and the mare producing a mule, and you would train the mule to run in the Kentucky Derby against a thoroughbred that was trained with a blue blood racehorse, a Kentucky thoroughbred, we call them. which is right up here above me. I can be up in one of their barns here in 30 minutes, looking at some of the finest racehorse animals on the earth. Run like the lightning. Ain't no mule on the earth you can keep up with one of these because of the difference of the genetics. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a major problem here of acceptance. Just like the theory of Christmas, it's becoming an acceptable norm, and we turn our head. We all know it's a lie. We all know it's paganism. We all know it come from Lucifer, old Saint Nick, Satan, Santa Claus. All these are deceptive of Babylon that will get us into a form and a fashion and take us out of truth. There's not many truth lovers today. I don't get any support except from truth lovers. Truth lovers love the truth. Most of them are poor, like myself, and just barely getting by from day to day and from hour to hour and minute to minute and sometimes second to second. I prayed for a man who didn't have a bite of food in his house since me. Before the day was over, he swears this till this day, that when I prayed for him, he came to church and I anointed him and prayed for him. He went home and a man stopped by, had been to a turkey shoot on Thanksgiving and had killed about 6 or 7 turkeys on a turkey shoot and didn't have no place to give them and brought them up in his yard and blow the horn and give the man 6 turkeys. This is the truth, so help me. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh knows them that are his, and we're poor, but the Bible said we're rich in faith, and we've got the truth, and the world doesn't love the truth. The Bible said the world will love its own. If the world hates you, you know it hated me, saith our Savior, before it hated you. And so when I get all these ruffled feathers, you know, in the barnyard, I ain't afraid of a chicken in the barnyard, no way. You think the eagle kind is afraid of a chicken? We got a lot of eagles in the barnyard thinking they're chickens when they ought to mount up on the wings of an eagle and rise up with the truth and speak the truth if it hard-lips the devil and puts a kink in his back. It's time that we returned and restored what the cankerworm and the caterpillar has destroyed in our Christian heritage of the Aryan white race. It's time for us to get on our feet and stand up and be proud of who we are, because we are in. And did you know that I was reading at Dr. Jack's today before I left Andrews, North Carolina, that I was reading an article that he gave me to read there that morning about the conditions of our five Western states are now blocked with a plot for the Mexicans to rule in the Senate and in their legislatures. And brother out in California that tells me he knows about the situation because he lives there, and he tells me that California is now a white minority state. And that's going to be, right now it's the exception, but it's going to be the norm. They're working systematically by planned an agenda to take and destroy, eliminate, if you will, weaken, to the point that we can't resist them more. Now, there might be a few white people left on the planet, but the Bible says, except I shorten the days, there ain't going to be none of my flesh. Now, what was Christ? Was he a descendant from Noah? Was Noah a descendant from Adam? Of course, in the genealogy, yes. Well, once these Christians acknowledge that, Adam had to be a white man. Now, if he's a black man, then all white people are not connected to Adam. Just like the donkey is not connected to the Kentucky Thoroughbred stud that was bred to the purebred. Now, this thoroughbred horse, bred for racing with a big long legs, bred to a mare of the same species, is not going to get a donkey. Just like a jack bred to a mare ain't going to get a Kentucky Thoroughbred racehorse. you're going to get what your genetics tell you to produce kind after kind, and therein lies the problem, and it's all connected to the flood and the great lie that they have systematically wanted you to believe so they could dumb you down, put you in a box, and right now if you speak out against the multiculturalism and the society that we got going on here today, you are nothing but a racist and a hate monger, and they're fast fixing laws to silence the voice of the truth of the prophets that are now beginning to raise up in the earth, because there's going to be a great persecution, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming. You might as well get ready, and don't you run around flapping your wings like a chicken in a barnyard when you ain't the eagle kind, because you ain't going to get raptured out of here and go nowhere. Bible says in the end time, Yahweh will send his angels, and he will at that time rapture out some people. But guess who's going to be taken out? Not the righteous, but the wicked. They're going to be severed from among the righteous, and the righteous shall inherit the earth. And it's stated in Isaiah 66, verses 22, 23, and 24. I just wish that you'd go there and read that right now. Turn over to Isaiah 66, starting in verse 22, read verse 23 and verse 24. That'll give you the climactic end time days of the days of Noah that we're going right back to, and we're now entering into the first phase of the completed plan of Satan, who will join all the kings of this earth in an evil, diabolical plot. These men look wise. They are wise. They get up and make earth-shaking speeches like Herod did. He spoke like a god and wouldn't give Yahweh any glory, and the angels smote him in the bowels. All of Babylon is going to be smote with the angels of Yahweh in the bowels. And the worms is going to eat their living intestines of their life. He's going to eat them away. Why? Because they failed to give Yahweh glory. So don't worry, little flock. You don't need guns and staves and knives with the big boys waiting in the wings. They're watching the events of the earth. Don't think they're not. Boy, I mean, the heavens was shook last night down in Andrews, North Carolina. And that's for sure. And you, saints that's been there, you know what Pastor Buddy's talking about. So stay tuned. This is going to be a very exciting year to come and the year after, because we're getting ready to begin the countdown to Armageddon, and the world is the stage, and the actors are ready to perform and do their work, just like the genie and the jack producing a donkey. The jack and the mare producing a mule, and then the elite, the eagle kind, the thoroughbreds, they're going to be running the race. And ladies and gentlemen, I can't be any more plainer than that. This is Pastor Buddy. You listen to the Shepherd's Call. Probably the most controversial show now we understand on the radio. Well, isn't that wonderful? Praise Yahweh. You say, Pastor Buddy, do you try to be controversial? No, I don't. Would you like to be accepted? Yes, I would. But you see, I'm a square peg that's trying to fit into the world's a round hole. The Bible said, he that loves the world will love the Father. And I don't love the world. You say, well, are you just trying to be different? I ain't trying. I am. I'm a peculiar person. I ain't got nothing for the world and the traditional religion of the day that people, you know, I mean, they weep. Well, they work for Talmuds. What in the hell have they got to weep about today? They're weeping for the same reasons that they work for Talmuds. These ignorant, stupid people, they get in these bell boxes and sit and weep and cry around, flutter their eyelids, see if anybody's watching like the Pharisees, pray long prayers to be heard, and then they disfigure their faces. Oh, I've been on a fast, and
I seen a vision of Jesus. He was 900 feet tall, and he told me to gather up $40 million and build a college. Glory to God. Well, that we could get all the world to come to him, and we teach them about the living Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so much of Babylon and deception to layer that it would deceive the very elect, and we've got our own true blues. We've got the thoroughbreds over here with the mules and the donkeys braying like a bunch of jackasses. My heavens, when are we going to wake up and smell the coffee? Well, right, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to sponsor my program, we need your help in tithes and offerings. I just spent some time with Dr. Jack, and he says that we need more help. So we would appreciate if you would call Dr. Jack at 1-888-281-7320. This is a toll-free number. Call him up and talk to him. Pledge your support for the Shepherd's Call. At least there's one voice here that's preaching the truth. You say, well, I don't like the truth. It cuts me to my heart, and I'm ready to stone you. If I knew where you'd live, well, I'd come and throw rocks at you. Well, praise Yahweh. You know, that's what they've done to the prophets of old. They stoned and killed everyone that Yahweh sent them. I don't expect to be treated any different. I ain't. I get the same persecutions and the treatment of the world. I'm cast down, but I ain't forsaken. Ain't nothing going to separate me from the love of Yahweh, neither height, depth, pearl, danger, or anything else. Why? Because I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It just ain't like the world's. The Holy Ghost, our God, is a lot different from the world. You see, I brought it with me from another planet. It's called heaven out there, and I came from heaven to do the will of my Father with my name on the Lamb's book from the foundation, and I come down here to hunt my brothers that was there with me in the beginning, and the Father said, you'll bear witness because you've been with me from the very beginning. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. My time's all coming down. I'll see you Monday morning. Or that's Monday afternoon at 8 on Truth Radio again. Yahweh bless you. It's Sunday night at 6 Eastern Standard Time on WWCR 12.160. That's 5 Central. Until then, Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.